Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thank you so much for joining us. I do appreciate it very much. Jennifer Tripkin joining us now. She is the Associate Director at NCOA, and this is National Falls Checkup Week. Am I saying that right, Jennifer?
Yes, it's the National Falls Awareness Week, okay, in which we're featuring a falls-free checkup, yes.
Okay, so, and I know that we've got listeners from across the spectrum, young, old, folks that have, you know, elderly parents or they're elderly themselves. Talk to us about what this is, what it does, and how we need to be aware of what's going on around us.
Absolutely. Falls impacts 25% of Americans aged 65 years and older every year.
Wow.
And falls are the leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injuries for older Americans. So not only are they costly, both in terms of dollars, but also in quality of life. So falls is an issue not only for older adults, but for families as well.
Okay, so to start with, I know there's also an online checkup tool. What is that? What does that do?
That's right. The good news about falls is that they are largely preventable, and we are pleased to announce that we have developed a falls-free checkup tool on our National Council on Aging website, in which an older adult can take a 12-question screening tool to identify their risk of falls and be provided with information about how to reduce their risk.
Okay, so give me some examples of things that, you know, folks that are listening, whether they go to this tool or not, they should be doing to make sure that we don't have elderly folks falling.
Absolutely.
And I say, real quick,
foremost,
I say elderly.
Oh, sure.
I'll be 56 here in a week, Jennifer. I'm not that far away from your 65 number.
Okay. We're all aging. So
exactly.
This is certainly something for all of us to be aware of.
Exactly.
Sure. Well, the first piece of advice I would have for anyone is to talk with their healthcare provider about their risk for falls,
okay,
especially if you have a history of falls or feel unsteady on your feet for any reason. There might be an easy solution that a doctor can assess,
okay,
and fix that for you.
Okay.
The second thing is that we know 80% of older adults are on some form of medication. Medications have side effects that sometimes impact our balance.
Gotcha.
So getting your medication reviewed by a pharmacist or a healthcare professional on an annual basis is a preventive check that can easily save you a fall if it indeed the cause is a fall.
Okay.
Engaging in exercise is also another big thing that we can do to prevent our risk of fall. So increasing our strength, balance, and flexibility is an important step, as well as working to make your home environment as safe as possible.
I know, too, Jennifer, that, everybody listening, Jennifer Tripkin is with us, the National Council on Aging. And to your point a moment ago, we're all getting older. None of us, I don't care how, if you're alive, you're getting older. That's how this works in this world. We're all getting older. And I also know, Jennifer, and I, because I've seen it with my own two eyes, that there are times where someone has some sort of a accident, in this case, a fall, and literally they're never the same after that. Am I correct in saying so?
You are right. Falls are oftentimes the advent of a number of health conditions that come out because of a fall.
It can be everything from, you know, broken bones to having to have hip replacements to other types of surgeries that in those cases, depending upon the individual, that person is just never the same after that fall.
Absolutely. Falls are a threat to our independence as well as our quality of life.
And by the way, everybody listening, as I said a moment ago, most of you know my age. I mean, Jennifer, this can happen to folks even that are younger than the age that you're talking about, because falling down as we get older just becomes a more difficult thing on our body. We all know that as we get older, our bones become a little more brittle. We're not as, I mean, I watch my grandkids run around and do the things they do, and I think, oh my word, only to be that young again, Jennifer, because they do things I couldn't think of doing at my age.
Right, right. And the goal should not be to do the things that they're doing at their age, but to maintain a quality of life that makes you happy and lets you enjoy the things that you enjoy, which is being around your grandkids or staying active or having a social connection to other people that's meaningful.
Okay, let's say that we've got, you know, elderly parents, those of us that are listening right now. What do we do besides the tool? What are the things that we can do to even talk to mom or dad about these particular situations?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Falls can be a very challenging subject to bring up since they are a threat to our independence. But it's really important that falls prevention is a team effort, both with our doctors as well as our family and friends. So having that discussion in terms of, I want to help you to stay independent rather than I want to take away your independence or take away anything from your life is an important way to frame that discussion. Asking what you can do to support an aging older adult in your life is a nice step to helping them maintain their independence.
Yeah, I mean, are there things that we can do to even, you know, as we're at their homes or, you know, wherever they happen to live and just looking around at different things and trip hazards and such? I mean, is that something that we that are younger that maybe even have a little bit more keen eye should be looking at and trying to help them in those areas? Am I on the right track?
You are. And you also are now becoming aware of the various risk factors that might include things such as vision impairment or hearing loss, some things that we don't necessarily think about when we think of falls. So certainly pointing them out as areas of concern, knowing that there is something modifiable or something that we can do to help reduce that falls risk is a great way to approach that. So having that challenging conversation with the idea of giving that gift of independence rather than taking away
gotcha.
Any quality of life.
All right. So, Jennifer, how do folks find the tool? Where do they go to find out more about, you know, the National Council on Aging? Where do they go?
Absolutely. You can go to our website, www.ncoa.org. That stands for the National Council on Aging. And when going to that website, you will be prompted to take a falls-free checkup, which is that free online falls risk tool, but then also exploring the various benefits that NCOA provides to aging Americans, including not only healthy aging, but also economic security tools.
Great. Jennifer, I appreciate it very much. Jennifer Tripkin, again, Associate Director at the National Council on Aging. Jennifer, I appreciate it very much. We have a lot of listeners that this impacts, and I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Have a great week as well. And Falls Prevention Week is September 21st through the 25th. So it starts today, runs through this week. And folks, this is a very serious topic. I know at times you'll think, come on, let's get back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and talk about some good stuff. Well, you know what? Our health, the health of our relatives, whether it's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whatever it happens to be, we really do need to be paying attention to these things because I just know firsthand that a fall in someone that's getting, you know, getting older, and that can be myself included, those are not good things. So if you're a grandchild or a son or daughter like myself, and you've got some elderly folks, it's one of those things that you need to be looking at to make sure that everything around the house and using this checkup tool is being done so that we keep those that we love here longer. That's how this works. Again, we really appreciate it, and it is Falls Prevention Week from today through the end of the week. We'll come right back. Extreme Auto Repair is up next. Don't forget about the $100 off of a timing belt replacement. And Extreme can do that for you. Don't forget, they've also got Cooper tires at cost. So 303-841-1071 or find them at klzradio.com.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair will help you prioritize your vehicle's maintenance. You know there's a lot more to maintaining your vehicle than just getting your oil changed. But it seems like every time you go to the shop, the mechanic finds 10 things wrong, and all of them need to be fixed immediately, or there could be dire consequences. In your experience, very few auto repair shops will level with you about what's most important to fix right now and what could wait until later. The team of ASE-certified technicians at Extreme Auto Repair do their best to inform you about your vehicle's factory-recommended maintenance without using scare tactics to pressure you into spending more money. They have a reputation among their many repeat customers of only fixing what needs to be fixed, not more. At Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, you can trust their team to tell you what needs to be fixed when. Find out what your vehicle really needs at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Franktown Firearms, they've got a great inventory of guns and ammo both. So if you're out in that Franktown area, please stop in and visit them, or any place in town, by the way. They've got inventory, they've got ammo, which right now is a good thing. KLZradio.com or 720-770-7777.
Instead of transporting your firearms to and from the range, you can store them safely on-site at the Franktown Firearms Armory. After purchasing a firearm, the team at Franktown recommends that you shoot consistently with your own gun on the range, as well as signing up for one of their proprietary training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can develop confidence handling your gun. You can also store your firearms temporarily while you're on vacation or protect your heirloom weapons without taking up space in your gun safe at home. The team at Franktown prides themselves on developing long-term relationships with their clients. They see beginners turn into experts all the time. First-time buyers come in looking for guidance and come back because they're having fun. Learn to shoot with confidence in a family atmosphere. Store your firearms at Franktown. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for pricing. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Joe on the phone today. Joe, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm good, John. Yourself?
I'm doing very well, actually.
Well, good. Hey, you probably have a chance to check your email, but I just sent you a little matrix that I made up. There is no upside and possibly downside to voting to confirm Trump's nominee before the election. Here's the downside. Many political writers, including respective conservative writers, said it would put vulnerable senators like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski into an awkward position. They're forced to vote, and forced to vote affirmatively, it could jeopardize their chances of re-election. If you wait to hold the vote to November 4th, there is zero downside. As follows. There's only four permutations, and those are consisting of who's in the White House and who controls the Senate. So now, if you wait till November 4th and Trump wins the White House and Republicans retain control of the Senate, you haven't lost a thing by waiting till November 4th to confirm his nominee. If Biden wins the White House, but the Senate retains control of the Senate, well, then fine. Confirm his nominee on November 4th, and then you can stonewall Biden for the next 4 years, and you'll retain a conservative majority on the court. If we lose the Senate, but Trump maintains the White House, you still confirm Trump's nominee on the 4th, and the Democrats will stonewall Trump for the next 4 years.
Right.
But it doesn't matter if there's no new Supreme Court justices, because you're going into that
with lopsided on our side anyways.
With a 6-3 conservative majority.
That's right.
So again, doesn't hurt.
No, I really don't see any downside, Joe. I mean, I know there's folks out there that would say there's a downside to, you know, having a nomination, even a confirmation by the election. But, you know, I thought through that all. I was quick to not make any judgment calls on Friday, because I know a lot of folks were, and I didn't say a word about it until today. And just the more I thought about it through the week, and I'm just like, Joe, there's the hardcore left, they're going to be mad, angry, and raving lunatics no matter what happens in this regard anyway, so why does it matter?
Well, again, the downside is, to the extent that you believe that it could hurt people like Murkowski and Collins, you know, if it's a half a point race and their opponents say, you know, she should have never voted for this, she's a hypocrite, blah, 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 you know, if it costs Collins and Murkowski their seat, that's the downside. And if you don't force them to vote before November 3rd, their opponents can't use that against them. And by the way, the last scenario is Biden in the White House and a Democrat Senate, in which case it becomes academic, because even if you voted to confirm
matter.
Her, the Democrats are going to pack the court. They're going to add four more seats.
Right.
And whether you confirm Trump's nominee or not, it's academic. So there is...
I think if anything, Joe, what you just said also, I think a lot of folks, not all voters, but a lot of voters will even understand what you just said, including independents, and say, wait a minute, timeout. I don't want four more Supreme Court justices. We the way it works right now has been working. If there's a little bit of power one way or the other, fine. That's the way the system is supposed to work anyways. I'd rather keep Trump and what we have than go with four more justices. Maybe I'm thinking incorrectly on that, Joe, but I think there's a lot of common sense independents that would agree with what I just said.
Unfortunately, the common sense independents don't get to vote in the Senate. So
no, I meant voters As we head to Election Day is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't
because let's face it, there are independent voters that are looking at both sides of this trying to make a decision on who they vote for going into November.
Right. Unfortunately, John, I think the people that think that far ahead are few and far between. I mean, if you ask, 100 people, what does packing the court mean? I'd be surprised if you got a dozen out of 100 could answer that question. So there is downside to forcing a vote before November 3rd, zero downside to waiting till after, and possibly a lot of upside. So my recommendation to your listeners, don't push for a vote before November 3rd. It can do no good. It can only hurt.
Yeah, and I don't have a strong feeling on that one way or the other. I'm still of the opinion, Joe, you and I can disagree on this one. I don't think it matters one way or the other. I don't think it's going to make a hell of beans a bit of difference. Even in some of the races that you just mentioned, if it's that narrow anyways, then they've already got issues there anyways in a vote. I don't think it's going to make a hell of beans one way or the other. To the point of what you just said, I don't think people look that far ahead and it's going to matter anyways.
Well, but again, let's say that if you ask Collins to vote today because she's afraid of losing, she might vote not to confirm. If she's already lost on November 1st, then she doesn't give a damn.
Mm-hmm. So that could be.
So I think that could be a difference. So again, she may change. Right now, she's probably a no vote. But either if she wins on November 4th, if she's won 6 more years, and by the way, it'll probably be her last term. She's getting up there.
Yeah.
So either she's in for 6 more years, and at this point, she doesn't give a rat's butt about what people think of her, or she's lost and she doesn't care anyway, so then she'll vote to confirm as her, going away present. She'll vote to confirm. So I think it would be a mistake to force Collins to commit prior to November 3rd because you might get an answer you don't like. November 4th, she doesn't care anymore.
You could be right. Joe, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for the phone call and the insight. Representative Neville, Patrick Neville, joining us now as well. Patrick, how are you, sir?
Hey, good. How about you?
Doing well. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, likewise.
So your thoughts?
So, I mean, I think truly they have to nominate and they have to have a vote on this. I think, for far too long we've been telling our base over and over that, well, we got to elect a Republican president because they can elect justices and they can overturn a lot of this stuff. And if we don't elect a Republican president or Republican governor or you name it, whatever it is, then we won't get some of these decisions overturned. And now we actually have an opportunity in front of us to put one of the 9 most highest seats up there for Supreme Court. And if we don't take advantage of that, quite frankly, I think the base is going to stay at home this election.
I can't disagree with you on that. I think that's something that, and believe me, you and I both know, Trump and all of his advisors, they started hashing this out even before her death. Because let's face it, Patrick, we all know that, and I'm not trying to be rude or downplay her life any way, shape, or form. But the reality is we all know that she has not been in good health for the past year plus. This is conversations that they've had over and over again besides just now.
Yeah, and I agree. And, I get disappointed that some conservatives out there are, almost celebrating her death. I mean, if there's one thing that I really enjoy about her life story, it's probably that she was best friends with my favorite justice, at least in my lifetime, Antonin Scalia. I mean, I enjoy that. I actually have some relationships that myself with a few Democrats.
Sure.
That we don't agree on a single thing politically, but we can always be nice to each other. But I think this is one of those things that it's not about her, supposedly dying request or anything. It's about saying what you're going to do when you're elected to office. And Trump has actually, delivered on a lot of things that he promised, which is unbelievable. I mean, I didn't think he could possibly deliver on half the amount of stuff that he was saying he was going to, but he's far exceeded any Republican president in my lifetime.
Yep.
And this is another one.
And he's doing it again. He's already said that he'll have a nomination to the Senate by this weekend. He's doing exactly what he said he would do, Patrick. And you saw the look on his face when he found out that she had passed away, and they gave him that news, and you could see that there was remorse there. But at the same token, he knows he has a job to do.
Right. Exactly.
And by the way, folks listening, even those of you on the left, you can have remorse and still get your job done, Patrick, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was my exact reaction. I was like, oh, wow. I wasn't certainly celebrating at all. It was kind of one of those things. But yeah, you have to go to work and do what you said you were going to do to get elected. And I do think that there is a monumental difference between 2016 and 2020. the fact that we actually do have the Senate and the President in Republican hands, I think makes a big difference. And I think that he has to get this done. If he does, it'll actually probably energize the base even more.
Yeah, and I'm wondering,
Mitch McConnell hasn't wasted any time either.
I agree.
He said that right at the same time, and Lord knows I've had my differences with Mitch McConnell more than probably a lot of Republican senators out there.
Right.
I haven't been a huge fan, but on this subject of actually confirming justices and judges on the court, Mitch McConnell's been extremely good and efficient, and I applaud him for that.
Well, and I will also say, and again, this is where Joe and I disagree, I really feel like Joe or Patrick, that much to what Joe just said a moment ago, while I agree that it could hurt some races depending upon if you vote or don't vote, by the way, because I think that could go both ways, I really feel like, in my opinion, the risk of voting prior to the election is far outweighed by the risk of not voting prior to the election, i.e. your base, i.e. what could happen potentially after the election, depending upon how the election goes itself and whether it actually goes to the courts. I think there's too many risks out there, Patrick, not to have a vote prior to November 3rd.
I couldn't agree more. And if you actually think about how many evangelical Christians are out there who don't vote year after year, I mean, you hear these stories about the Amish actually voting.
Millions that don't vote year after year.
So, but, I mean, this, if you want to make sure they stay at home and don't vote, the easiest way to do that is make sure you don't have a vote on this and that you don't have a nominee.
I agree. And that's, again, I love Joe, but I will disagree in this one. I don't think, here's the thing. Collins up in Maine, I don't think she's voting for you no matter what time it is. I don't think it matters. Am I wrong or am I right?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, can't guess all of her motives. I think Cory Gardner will probably do the right thing. But yeah, it's concerning. You know, it's a very close vote, but I think if you look at the long-term impact of this, I think not having a vote would make a more lasting impression and disenfranchise a lot of the Republican base for decades to come. So I think it's one of those things that they have to get done.
I think it is, and I think the other thing, too, and I do believe this, and I do believe this wholeheartedly, depending upon who he nominates, and he has said that it'll already be a woman, so depending upon what woman he actually nominates, there's some of those races, Patrick, it could actually help in particular situations. So, again, I'm one that says nominate and hold the vote prior to the election.
I agree. I think he's probably saying it will be a woman because there's plenty of qualified women out there.
Correct.
I take a look at it. There's a lot of folks out there saying, well, he should do this, Latino race and everything. I think pick the best qualified person, and hopefully that's the person who gets the vote. I don't want to make it based on race or gender, but I think there's plenty of qualified women on the bench who have a proven record who are absolutely amazing that could absolutely be nominated by the president.
Well, and I do think, and this is where I would come at this, and I think President Trump knows this as well, there is a difference between genders. We all know that. I know the left doesn't want to say that. They think everybody's exactly the same. But, Patrick, you and I both know that our other halves, if you would, the females of the world, think about things differently than you and I do. It's just the way God made us. I will stand on that till I go to the grave. And I think when it comes to even certain decisions that are made for us as a country, having that other side's perspective, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I also believe in the Constitution, the rule of law, everything should be interpreted as such. But let's face it, there are times where there's things that come into play where you need that sometimes softer approach. Maybe I'm not saying that correctly, Patrick, but sometimes you need that in determining some of the outcomes of some of these cases.
Well, I think the word I would actually use is judicious. I know my wife is much more judicious than I am in making a lot of decisions. I'm much more knee-jerk than her in a lot of
situations. Great way of saying it. Great way of saying it.
The pun is actually intended, but there's plenty of people, whether it's Amy Barrett, whether it's Judge Lagoa, whether it's Allison Knott here from Colorado. I think they would all be wonderful choices. And that's what's so great about America. We live in this great country where women are accomplished, amazing, and he's got a great group to
And you know what? I will give credit. Well, credit's due. Ruth Ginsburg did champion some of what you just said, allowing women to do things in that arena that they might not have otherwise been able to do, maybe eventually, but maybe not as early, given the fact that she helped propel a lot of those things. But I also will go and stand on what I said earlier. She also used her Supreme Court seat for her own personal gain and her own personal beliefs, which I also don't believe in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you actually, what we truly need to hear, the first and foremost job of the president is to pick someone who's actually a true believer in the Constitution and the words that were written, not trying to interpret it to their own means.
Correct.
Not trying to rearrange the law and rearrange the words to whatever they believe is best fit. But like I said, there's plenty of women out there that could do that. And if Trump picks a woman, I mean, I think a lot of people were expecting him to pick Amy Barrett last time because that would have been the easier route, pick
right.
a woman, because, and he picked Kavanaugh. And that probably wouldn't have been my pick, actually. I think I probably would have, if I had to make the pick myself, I probably would have picked someone else, possibly a woman over Brett Kavanaugh. But that's, you know, that's the president's choice, not mine.
Yeah.
But
that's what we hired him to do.
We,
everybody needs to realize that. We hired him to make these decisions, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
That's what he's there for.
You know, I'm glad to see he's doing it, and I'm glad to see that Mitch McConnell is going to take a vote on it. And we just got to do our part, making sure that, you know, I think Cory Gardner will do the right thing, and I think other folks will do the right thing. And so we can't worry about every, you know, Republicans, we get so focused on the short term, and this is part of our downfall. Democrats have a very long-term view of things, and they try to do everything in incremental manners over years and decades. And we've seen that in Colorado, right? We've seen how they were able to turn Colorado into a very red state, into a purple/blue state,
right?
Because they've had that long-term view. Republicans aren't good at that, so we're just thinking of November. We got to think longer term. I mean, what are the impacts that this justice could actually have long-term?
Well, and I'm going to go back to something else too, Patrick. There's an old saying, first things first. Right now, what's in Trump's wheelhouse is first things first. He has a vacancy on the Supreme Court that needs filled. And frankly, that's prior to the election. So you do that, election is second.
Yep.
That's how I see it.
Got to get the job done.
You get your job done. First things first. Right now, the responsibility is getting that seat filled.
That's correct. And it's a responsibility for the Senate to take a vote on that person.
Yep, that's how I see it. Patrick, I appreciate it. Always good stuff. Always good talking to you, sir.
All right, thanks, John.
All right, talk to you soon. I do appreciate it very much. Richard will join us in just 1 minute. We'll talk a little more with him about this as well, plus get an update on some of the events going on around the world sports-wise. Pure 4 Chevrolet is up next, though. They want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs. New, used, they've got you covered, and I mean that sincerely. It's like going back in time to buy a car. Pure 4 Chevrolet, it's purefoychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, folks, if you want that kitchen to be the enchanted place, yes, the enchanted place that it should be, then go to Enchanted Kitchens. You can find them at klzradio.com. Get a free consultation. But again, make your kitchen enchanted. Enchanted Kitchens, KLZ. Just go to the website, klzradio.com.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern, but for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you've visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard joining us. Richard, what's up?
Oh, not too much, Dad. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. How was the weekend in sports? I didn't watch much, so what all went on? Did anything?
Yes. Well, there's actually a lot. There was quite a bit going on, to be honest with you. There was quite a bit of a... I don't know. It was just kind of a conglomeration. We're not used to this in the middle of September, right? Because you just got a lot of stuff going on. You U.S. Men's Golf Championship. You had a little bit of college football on Saturday. Obviously, the NFL on Sunday and tonight. And then you also had, obviously the Broncos played. You've got the Big Ten football coming back here in a few weeks. You've got the Pac-12 football coming back here in a few weeks, potentially, which that's another conversation for another day. It was actually really busy. You had the NBA or you had NHL playoffs, which Avs aren't out, so they're not too, most people here aren't too concerned about it, but you had the Nuggets play on Friday night and Sunday night, although I know their viewership is pretty massively down due to the, their, you know, protests and all the other nonsense that they're doing right now. So, yeah, it was actually a really busy weekend. Again, normally you don't have the U.S. Open right now. Normally you don't have the NBA playoffs and the NBA or Western Conference Finals and the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, all to go with college football and the NFL. So it was kind of wacky.
So question I have for you on NBA, something I want to talk about even off-air, but the question I've got is, so NBA, all these professional organizations make TV deals, correct, where the games are broadcast and there's revenue that comes in, correct?
Yeah.
So when these broadcasters give the NBA, let's say, $1 billion, I don't know what it is, let's just say it's $1 billion, and then all of a sudden viewership drops because of their, political stance, is there any pushback ever from the networks or given the fact that the networks are so in bed with the Black Lives Matter movement, they're not going to say anything? Or at what point do these guys start saying, wait a minute, guys, we need more viewership. We gave you X amount of money to have that viewership. At what point do the networks start putting pressure on these organizations, or do they?
I think you hit the nail on the head, which is unfortunately these organizations are in bed they are advocates for these movements, for the Black Lives Matter and all the racial injustice and everything that's going on in America. And again, it's the same reason why you're getting coverage of, RBG in her situation, and how much, how kind of slanted that coverage is. The exact same thing's happening now. So you're not going to hear about it. Yeah, you're seeing the ratings, they're down, but people are going to attribute it to the bubble and no fans and things like that. But at the end of the day, people watching pays the bills, right?
Yeah, eventually the money can't last forever. They have to have revenue to come back in against the revenue that they've put out. They have shareholders that I would guess at some point in time are going to start saying, hey, CBS, NBC, Fox, et cetera, you paid out X amount of money to the NHL or to the NBA to have X amount of money coming back in, and that didn't happen. At what point are you going to start demanding some revenue from these guys?
And well, exactly, and I think at the end of the day, I mean, it's all about ad revenue spots, right? And which ones you're selling, and I don't know the NBA situation or NHL. I think they've been halfway successful. I know the NFL has sold out their revenue spots, each network has, and so theirs is still paying off.
Okay.
Now, whether they're getting the same rates that they were before the pandemic and before all the racial justice and stuff is another conversation. I'm not sure. So the NFL is at least halfway getting it, even with the stickers, on the back of these guys' helmets and, the painting of the end zones and so on and so forth. I'll be honest, I've seen less coverage, especially why I watch NFL Red Zone, because you get less coverage of the, the anthems and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
I think you're going to see it at some point in time. For example, next year the NBA salary cap is projected to potentially stay the same or go down a little bit. Well, and just like here in Colorado, right, we're accustomed to our houses going up in value. So even if they don't lose value this next year, but if they just stayed the same, most people would consider that a loss, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And so that's, I think the NBA and some of these entities are figuring that in, and players are starting to see it. But that, I'll be honest, I don't think they equate it to their other nonsense. They just equate it to the pandemic, and that's the convenient excuse that these leagues get to be able to do. They kind of get to float it back onto the pandemic, right? And say, well, it's COVID.
So, but it's not. I mean, I don't, at some point, these guys have got to wake up and realize that it's no longer COVID. It's how people view what they're doing with all of their political nonsense that we've talked about it on the show many, many times. People watch sports and go to sporting events to get rid of that nonsense, not to have it more, and not have at more of it added to what they're doing.
100%. Nope, you're 100% correct. And that's, I think that, again, I think the NFL was, you know, big on it in the first week. And that's why I think you're going to start to, you're still going to let them do players and that sort of stuff. Now, whether that lasts into next year or not, you know, I don't know. I think that's going to be a question for a different day. So, you'll see. And I think that's why, by the way, LeBron James, he's the guy that hasn't put his name on the back of his jersey, or not names, but the NFL or the NBA's allowing players to put different statements, Black Lives Matter, equality, vote, and stuff on the back of their jerseys. Well, LeBron James is one of the players. He's been, you know, most vocal, but he hasn't put it there. My reason, he's going to say it's because he doesn't think it's effective. My reasoning is he's at least a halfway smart business guy, and he understands that, whether I say it or not, I don't want to put my name on that jersey.
Yeah, having my jersey, having that name on the back of my jersey sure changes things.
It certainly does. So I think you're going to see that. But outside of that, you know, yesterday in NFL land, because obviously that's kind of my window, my forte, it was good. It was crazy, though, Dad, because you heard over this past year, right, with the pandemic, so there was no preseason, right, and there was no off-season activities. And it's always been a big thing for the players to push against those things, right, to push to not have these things. You know, because of course, as any employee, they want the most bang for their buck, right? They want to give as little of their time as possible and get as most money as possible. So in their minds, you know, fewer preseason games, fewer times they have to put themselves out there, whatever it might be, you know, they kind of, you know, benefit from that. Well, yesterday, Dad, you saw a massive amount of guys go down with season-ending injuries. You had a Nick Bosa.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that. I didn't listen. You know, I didn't watch the game, but I heard a little bit of the radio broadcast post-game, and I know the Broncos ended up with several injuries. Why?
They did. Well, so Drew Lock, he's got a situation.
Shoulder injury, right?
Shoulder. He's out. Yeah, he's out probably 4 to 6 weeks. Cortland Sutton, their star receiver, who is already struggling with a shoulder situation, tore his ACL, so he's out for the year. They had another defensive lineman out 4 to 6 weeks. There were several other massive star players that went down with season-ending injuries, and I don't want to say it's just, you know, maybe a bad week of coincidence. I think it's something to be said of no preseason games,
yeah,
and
no conditioning
off-season activities.
Yeah, no conditioning.
Yeah, you've got these guys obviously are working out, and these guys are world class athletes. So I'm not saying they're not working out.
It's not the same.
They're not in shape.
It's not the
same. You've got to have that game reps, and the coaches want it. You know, the GMs want it, mainly so they can evaluate players and things such as that. But they also want it, Dad, for a variety of reasons. You know, they want it for this, so their players can start to get into that shape.
Right.
So I think this is actually kind of a win for the NFL and for teams, because they're like, obviously they're going to go back to players and be like, guys, we can't have no preseason games because this is what happens.
Right.
So, yeah, let's find that happy medium. Or, you know, if we're going to have these games, let's make money off of them and let's add another regular season game, which I believe happens in 2 years. So the NFL's, again, in the end, you know, I know people like to hate the NFL and that sort of thing, but they tend to be right more often than not with what their customers want and honestly kind of with how their players should do it. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened last night, Dad, or yesterday. It was just really crazy. You had a lot of season in the injuries, and I think you're 100% correct. Yeah. These guys weren't in shape, but they weren't in football shape, right?
Yeah, there's also a mental end of it that people forget about as well. Mental plays a huge part of it as well. When you're not playing an actual game, your mental capacity is not the same. Your physical capacity also is not the same. And it's like, I mean, let me give it to all of you out there listening in this way. You can be a pilot and go into a simulator and fly it all day long, but it's not the same as flying a real jet. they're just it's like a race car driver flying a race car driver driving a simulator versus actually getting out on the track. They're not one and the same. You can practice all day long, all that you want. Now, will that practice make you better? Absolutely it will. But it's not the same as the actual game day.
100%. That's the thing. Yes, practice will make you better. Practice will make perfect. All of these things. But your body is not used to those collisions and those impacts or maybe twisting this way. And so, yeah, an injury that maybe in a few years is maybe just a sprained MCL, so you're out a few weeks, is now turning into an ACL because you haven't been getting your body in the shape that it would have been, right? Because you normally would have been in OTAs in April and doing some mini camps and stuff in May, and then just a little bit of a break in July and then back to it for full training camp, you know, end of July, early August, and then obviously games to go along with it. And Dad, I will say this. You do have injuries that happen in those preseason games, so maybe we're getting those injuries that would have happened then now. But still, it's just really odd that you're seeing the top-tier star players go down with season-ending injuries, and it's just kind of just coincides too perfectly, you know?
Yep. No, well said. All right, we'll come back. Don't go anywhere. And Gino's Auto Services next, folks. It's Gino's with a J, and anything you need for your vehicle, soup to nuts, they've got you covered, front to back, bumper to bumper service. Gino's Auto Service, again, it's Gino's with a J, and they have been trusted by the BBB for 35-plus years in Littleton. 303-794-6700. That's ginosautoservice.com.
For over 37 years, Gino's has been your go-to auto service shop in Littleton for all of your car repair and maintenance needs. This month, take advantage of Gino's engine and cabin air filter special and receive a NAPA $20 gift card. Do you want to breathe better air in your vehicle? Your cabin air filter helps to remove pollen, dust, smoke, and pollutants from the air inside your car. It's recommended to change your cabin air filter once a year in Colorado. Your engine air filter prevents dust, dirt, and contaminants from your engine. With any service, we'll do a free battery check to get you safely back on the road. Gino's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers, honoring warranty work you may have had done. Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off for service and pick up when ready. Gino's is a Colorado Select member and conveniently located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Check out Gino's Google reviews or call us with any questions. Visit Gino's online at ginosautoservice.com.
Save the children, folks. Let them do the heavy lifting. Let them take care of kids around the world and in our own backyard. And all we have to do is donate. It's that simple. 1-800-570-5155 or savechildrenklz.org.
You know, there are millions of kids right now who are living in poverty. As a matter of fact, one out of every five kids in America today is in poverty. And many of those families are the families of our veterans, men and women who have served us in the military. Our friends at Save the Children are standing in the gap for these veterans who know what it's like to deal with unexpected situations in the battlefield. But then you come home and you've got school closures and isolation, can't get to your doctor's appointments. That puts an extra layer of stress on families who already have a lot to deal with. That's where Save the Children can help. Helping children of wounded veterans. Just one example of the vulnerable and often overlooked and forgotten kids right here at home that Save the Children represents. Now, it's really very basic. You give a $100 donation to Save the Children today, and that will provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one child for 10 days. Just $100 can do that. A $300 donation can provide that same child with food for an entire month. Go to Save Children KLZ right now and make sure that these kids don't need to worry about where their next meal is coming from. That's SaveChildrenKLZ.org.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers. He'll join us at 5 o'clock, give us our Monday Mortgage Minute. And anything you need in the mortgage world, Kurt is your guy. He's mine, he's Richard's, and a lot of other friends that I have. Give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important. your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take aim, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Jody said, called these folks up to see about getting some equipment to help with an off-site meeting. What a surprise. It is so rare these days when someone exceeds your every expectation, but BES sure did. While the item I needed wasn't something they normally deal in, they called around, found a solution, and then called me back. Then, when we were talking through the pricing, they said, you know what? Pay it forward. We've got you on this one. If you are looking for a business that tries hard for their customers and still believes in old-fashioned business values, you needn't shop further. This is it. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard, there was a story last week, too, about the CU Buffs. They were practicing, and supposedly they had violated whatever Boulder County COVID order. And at what point do the organizations, and I was really disappointed in you know, George, the AD up there, not telling those guys to just pound sand because they have an exception to that anyways. But when are they going to stand up to these guys?
Well, I mean, part of it, Dad, is because you've got people in the media and you've got people so scared, unfortunately, that you're going to have a hard time. So for folks that didn't know, basically what happened was a athletic department individual, I'm not sure where their standing was, took a group of 100 guys. I think it was a combination. I don't think it was just football players or whatever it is, but they ended up taking, you know, 100 or so guys hiking, right, in Boulder, up
right.
One of the Flatirons,
an
outdoor thing. And so they had, I think they kind of had a mask on them, but they weren't wearing masks with them and they weren't social distancing. And you had a Karen, take a picture and obviously send it in to Boulder County Health.
Right.
By the way, folks, if you ever wonder, maybe some of you don't, but why we don't have top flight athletic facility or, you know, athletic programs at CU and CSU, it is this prime example.
It's the Karens.
Because you go to Alabama and you're not having that happen.
Nope.
Someone just take a picture of this. And they all had CU garb on. You could tell they were somewhere there.
Right.
But you've made these people. And I saw someone actually did reply to the tweet to the reporter. And they were from out of state. And they said, are you guys really wearing masks out there while you're hiking? And this guy says, yes, I bring mine with me. And when I'm the only person on the trail, I keep it down. But if I ever encounter anyone or even see someone, I put it up. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, is this just absolute insanity?
Yeah, I doubt in Alabama that you actually have any type of issues that way whatsoever, because you and I both know their coach wouldn't put up with that.
No, he wouldn't. And Rick George semi did, because he put out a statement and said, you know, we have an exemption to this. But the fact that they're even having to fight this one way or another, Dad, is just, we got a bunch of ignoramuses running around, have zero comprehension of what matters. Like, folks, those kids didn't do it, and they're saying because there was an outbreak at the school. Yeah, but these kids are tested regularly. They are part of the athletics department.
Right.
Here at the end of September, they're going to be tested every single day. They are better served and more secure than anyone else on campus.
Right.
So the fact that we're turning these people in, I mean, no one, and by the way, if the Democrats have any, you know, reason, or I don't even know how the polls are close, it's for this exact reason. Because you are giving people a reason to not vote for you, essentially.
That's right.
You know, Dad, it's just insanity, and I have no idea how people can do this and buy into it. So I feel for the school, but then again, at the same time, Dad, is Boulder, right? Boulder's going to Boulder.
Yeah.
I don't know anywhere else around, unfortunately.
I know. You are 100% correct. I don't know either. So what's coming up? I know we only got about a minute left here. What's coming up this weekend as far as football and that goes?
Well, so you got the Broncos in action at home, where 5,700 fans, because of old Dictator Polis is allowing that to happen. So that'll be exciting. The Nuggets play tomorrow night. Hopefully they can bring the series to 2-1 and not go down 3-0 So again, if you're watching basketball or not, I'm not pushing you one way or another. You do, again, the Pac-12 has the potential, even with all the other nincompoops there in California, to start play either on Halloween or the weekend after. So, Dad, after all of this nonsense, and we need to even have a full segment on how incompetent college football was, throughout all of this, you're still going to have people, all Power 5 conferences that are going to be playing and are going to be potentially participating in the college football playoff. And so it's a big win for those of us that live in reality and a big loss for all of the other lovely Corona fighters out there that, you know, think that the world is coming to an end.
As far as Colorado numbers go, I haven't even looked lately. Where are we at as far as our hospitalizations and stuff go?
There's been a little bit of a little spike in positivity because of the uptick in Boulder.
Big deal.
Again, you're seeing that from Polis and everyone else. But again, it's between 18 and 25-year-olds. And I don't think any hospitalizations as a result of that. So our hospital numbers are remaining flat, but we're seeing a little spike in positivity and in the number of cases.
Big deal.
But still, Dad, 97% of people being tested in Colorado are negative, which, yep, by the way, is just, and that's almost nationwide now too. So I don't know how people.
This thing is ridiculous.
Highly infectious thing.
Yep.
Anyways.
I agree. All right, Richard, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Thanks a lot. In the meantime, Bruce Simmons is your reverse mortgage specialist. He's a professor of reverse mortgages. If you're 62 years of age or older and you're interested in a reverse mortgage, Bruce is your guy. Even if you want to refinance your current reverse mortgage, talk to Bruce today. 303-467-7821 or find him at klzradio.com.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your house without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I appreciate each and every one of you joining us and listening. This next hour, we'll get a little update from Kurt Rogers on our Monday Mortgage Minute. And then Jonathan Butcher from Heritage is going to join us. We're going to talk about schools and what they don't want you to know about what they're teaching your kids. Okay, we've talked about that before, but we'll talk to Jonathan along those lines. And then Michael Beatrice is going to join us. We're going to talk about COVID, college cases, things along those lines. Some of what we just talked to Richard about a moment ago, we're basically flatlining, deaths are down. What's the real story as we head through fall? Again, Michael Beatrice will join us, and we'll talk about that. So we'll be back. We got another full hour coming your way, and don't go away. Myself, Charlie, and don't forget, as we have openings, lines will be open, 303-477-5600. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.